Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Let's bring in the outstanding Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Bob, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
All right, so I want to start with the commissioner talking about Tampa Bay, Oakland, then expansion. It seems like the right order because it keeps, you know, they'll know what the pool of cities really happens to be. What is the viewpoint right now on Oakland first, and then we'll get to Tampa?
Well, there's actually some optimism now for the first time in decades that they're getting the stadium done. The Oakland City Council has yet to vote. Now, probably been a couple of months. They passed all the other things as far as zoning, that sort of thing. So they're optimistic that it's going to stay in Oakland after all this time and not have to move to Vegas.
Which now brings up Tampa. I know when I was down there for the Outback Bowl back in early January, we were down at Ybor City, and I know that's where the Rays wanted to build a ballpark, and they haven't been able to get it done. So what's the status there? Because the commissioner's right. Having it on the Tampa side is better than being on St. Pete.
Yeah, St. Pete's side hasn't worked. You know, they do have an ironclad lease through 27, but you know that's probably okay now because it's, you know, take a few years to build a new ballpark. So yeah, I think it stays in the area, but just on the Tampa side. I mean, they could play their games at, you know, the Yankee spring training site is at Legends Field. It'd be a big upgrade. So yeah, people just don't want to go over the bridge. You know, it's a traffic is brutal trying to get over there.
In fact, when we were there for the Outback Bowl, Bob, one of the bridges was hit by a barge and was out. So,
oh, wow.
So you're like, okay, that makes it worse. And by the way, Legends Field, which is next to Raymond James, is a beautiful ballpark. So that's not bad.
No, not at all.
I'll go a little off field here because obviously the commissioner is not going to address this part. But who do you think might be prime expansion cities if they decide to go to 32?
Well, Nashville will be number one for sure.
Yep.
And they'd like to have go back to Montreal. They like to have two teams in Canada. So that's their second choice. And then there's a big drop-off. I don't think they go to Portland. It's too close to Seattle. I think they'll go nuts. And Nashville is going to cut into some territory, too, with all the teams in the area, you know, the Cardinals and the Reds and all that. I think Vegas is down the pecking order a little bit. It could go there, but there's questions whether it would work in Vegas. It's as tough enough time surviving in Phoenix. Phoenix is the fourth largest city in the country. You know, Vegas is like, I don't know if people are really going to go to Vegas in the summertime to see a baseball game.
Right. All right, so now let's get to the money part of it. We'll start with Aaron Judge, who is he's betting on himself, and you and I both know he got thrown off by the question the other night during the game. He was kind of caught a little bit. So how do you view the Aaron Judge situation?
Well, you know, like he said the other day, talking to him is that he's not afraid of free agency. He kind of welcomes it. Has 30 teams bidding on him, and he's gotten this far. You might as well get free agency. But I think he's got to get at least $36 million a year, which is what Mike Trout gets. You're not going to get a 10-year extension like Trout did, but get fewer years, maybe a 7-year deal. So I'm not sure he hits $300 million. Probably comes in under that. And when you're talking about that kind of price tag, you're only going to have two or three teams bidding on you at that price.
Exactly. The length of the contract probably plays into the fact that he's now 30.
Yeah, that's the thing. In a way, yes. Got a late start. So, yeah, I could see 36, 37. I mean, he has been healthy this year, but he's had some injuries in the past. He's such a big guy. I mean, we see the injuries that's happened to Stanton over the years. So I think it's tougher for those guys to stay healthy.
All right, so now Juan Soto, 15 years, $440 million. He says no. Now they look to trade. If they trade, can it be prospects, or do you have to actually get major leaguers for him?
I think you have to get some major leaguers with those prospects. Right. So,
yep.
Yeah, you got to get a team's top prospects, you know, like you know, three of the top five or the top five, and at least one major leaguer or two. Let's be honest, Stephen, a lot of these, some of these prospects, you know, never make it. Like, you know, give you top first-round picks, you don't make it. So when they trade for these prospects, one or two are not going to cut it. So you got to have some major league players. And because of that, that's why I think you'll get trade in the winter and not now. I think if you're a contender, you know, why are you going to trade away major league players, you know, right now as well? At least in the winter, teams can make assessments, and then you can have everybody jumping in rather than just a few teams.
Right, exactly, because at that point, you're now trying to form your team long-term. Right now, you're trying to win. So you're not going to say, well, we're going to give you the second baseman, the center fielder, and the right. No, we need those guys to win now, so they're not going to do that. Were you surprised that Soto rejected it? Because, I mean, the numbers are great. The average is not great. But were you surprised?
You know, not really when you looked at it. It just, remember, they had already said he turned down, 360 or something before. And then, rumors about a month ago, or reports on Dominican that they were offering over $400 million. So, what the problem is, a lot of the time it's an ego thing, too. So a 15-year contract or $440 is about $29 million a year, which sounds great on surface, but it'll only be the 20th highest paid contract in baseball as far as annual average salary. By the time 15 years is over, you won't even be the top 100. So I think if he had offered, say, a 10-year deal at $440, he would have jumped at it, $44 a year. Mm-hmm. And so I think they got to get closer to $40 million a year, 10-year contract at 40 or, something like that, raising the bar on the average salary.
Right. What did you think of the commissioner's comments on minor league baseball pay?
Well, I think a little misconstrued. I mean, there's some room in the question was asked, and he couldn't quite hear it. But I think it was phrased like, do the major league owners, they don't want to pay the minor leaguers because they can't afford it. They just don't want to pay them. And his thing is, when he's talking about their salaries, obviously they're low, like they've always been forever. But he goes, been massive improvements with housing, meals, lodging, that sort of thing. So that's part of your compensation package as well. It's not just, an hourly wage.
Well, and I think the point he tried to make is that it's better now than it was, let's pick a number, 5 years ago, which in reality it is. I mean, doesn't mean it's great, but it is better. And I think that was the point he was trying to make.
Yeah, it's much better. I mean, there's a reason why the minor league players are not part of the union. Never have been, probably. Never will be. That's what you sign up for. It also doesn't factor, signing bonuses. Every kid gets something. It's like, if you sign for, get a signing bonus, say, even if just, $100,000, you got to factor that in as well.
Two teams that have changed their fortunes over the past few weeks. One's the Phillies, and the other one's the Mariners. So I want to get to the Phillies first. They made the change, Joe Girardi. When they started their winning streak, Girardi was actually the manager for the first game, and then Robbie Thompson took over. What has happened with them, in your opinion?
I think starting to play a lot better expectations. Just guys are underachieving. I mean, we saw that with the Chicago White Sox. We saw that with the Baltimore Orioles. Seattle Mariners. Just for whatever reason, a poor performance. I mean, we saw Seattle looking at Scott Servais might be in the hot seat. They stayed with him. They won 14 in a row. So if they stay with Girardi, it could happen as well. We don't know. But I think Thompson brings a fresh voice, everything else. They're doing this without Bryce Harper, too, which is impressive. Fighting for, at least hang in there in the wild card race. And, Baltimore, we didn't know whether Brandon Hyde was a good manager or a bad manager.
Right.
And to see him being, a 500 team in that division, very impressive.
Well, see, that's what I've said about Derek Shelton in Pittsburgh. I have no idea what kind of manager he is. Zero. None. because they haven't really contended for anything. Now in Baltimore, I mean, I give him credit. I mean, what have you thought about how they have built in Baltimore? Because we know that Rutschman obviously was the first overall pick, but a lot of people don't know that roster very well.
No, you know, you got the GM from Houston, Mike Elias, was with Jeff Luhnow when they tore that thing down completely. And that's been a juggernaut for since 2015, 2016. And I think that was the whole game plan here, just strip it all the way down. And I think they'll won't trade guys at trade deadline. You know, they'll trade Mancini and some of these guys, knowing that, you know, realistically, you're not competing for a wild card berth. Now, but within a year or two, you know, they should be knocking the door, particularly with the schedule changing beginning next year. Remember, next year, everybody plays everybody, so you don't have to get your head beat in playing the AL East night after night.
Exactly. What has happened with the Cubs?
Well, I just think it's a, they don't want to call it rebuild, but rebuild. You know, the one thing, what they say, and it's true, is that, hey, we offer more money to Chris Bryant than he ended up getting. We offer more money to Anthony Rizzo. Same thing with the shortstop with the Tigers. And you know, and they say, well, if they want to take it, let's rebuild. And you know, some of these guys are getting on. You know, Rizzo's played well. Javi Baez has been terrible since he signed with the Tigers.
Yep.
Chris Bryant's been hurt most of the first half. He only has four home runs playing at Coors Field. So I think, I think there'll be big spinners this winter. I think they'll definitely get one of the shortstops, whether it's a Carlos Correa, a Trey Turner, somebody like that. I think, a Dansby Swanson. I think they'll play in one of these guys.
Some people will say everything's about the haves and the big spenders. And then, of course, there's a long list of have-nots along the way. How do you view baseball right now? Do you see haves, have-nots, or do you see the better middle than people realize?
I think it's a little better. I mean, particularly we saw what Baltimore did.
Yeah.
We're seeing Minnesota, leading the division. Tampa always throws everything on a skew because of what they do with such a small payroll. But, yeah, I think, Major League Baseball, not the union, but Major League Baseball, is a knows a big problem. I think they're embarrassed to have the greatest disparity in all the sports. You shouldn't have a team like the Dodgers and Mets having a payroll that's a good $220-230 million bigger than the Pirates and the Orioles and the Oakland A's.
All right, so let me ask that. They had a chance to maybe be on the road to solving that. But you and I both know the union doesn't want a floor, they don't want a cap, and anything like that. In some ways, did baseball lose an opportunity with this last negotiation, or did they need to have it turn out the way it did?
No, there's lost opportunity. I mean, the union will sign on the floor, but they just believe that if you do a floor, they're going to come down with a cap. And at that time, Major League Baseball offered $100 million floor. But then the luxury tax is going to start beginning at 180, instead of, 230, 240.
Right.
And so that's why they rejected it. I still think the next CBA, that could come. I think you do need a salary floor. Just make it work. I mean, obviously, even the salary cap is working working great for the NBA guys. I mean, they're making a killing, $40, $50 million a year.
Yeah.
Certainly not the long-term contracts baseball gets, but they're making a ton of money, and that's with the cap.
Bob, it is always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Really appreciate your time.
All right, my pleasure, too. Take care, Steve.